And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Whatever those dreams may be, big or small, they're all important, especially if they are your dreams. And you can't make someone else's dreams come true unless you can make your own come true. I've kind of learned that. You've got to let people walk their own path, find their own way, create their own world. You can, if they give you the opportunity, share with them your insights. But I think the phrase, I want you to learn from my mistakes, it's not really an appropriate phrase, because we have to individually learn. We can certainly be inspired, encouraged, guided by other people's information, but we all have to live our own lives. And that's part of what this is about, is finding your own path, finding your own set of paradigms. And somebody made the joke the other day, and it took me a while to get it. A pair of dimes, 20 cents, thank you so much. Or a new pair of dimes, 2009 dimes, whatever the case might be. Bad joke. It wasn't mine. Nonetheless, you're listening to the program that comes your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And it's available after the broadcast. The archives of these programs are available at richarddugan.com. And it's the radio show's link. All you do is go there and you can listen live. Click that link over on the right-hand side at the top of every page. You can't miss it. And then on the left side of the page, you have at the top the various links to the schedule, you have to the radio shows, to other things that we do, other interviews that I have done over the years, done some graphic design, audio preservation, those types of things. You can find out more about those types of things at richarddugan.com. What do you know about your soul? And what is this wearing your soul on your sleeve? You've heard about putting your heart on your sleeve or wearing your heart on your sleeve. Well, have you ever dared to wear your soul on your sleeve? Well, we're going to find out what that's all about with my guest. She is the author of said book, A Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Sleeve, or on the outside. I shouldn't say sleeve. I beg your pardon. Gloria Burgess is my guest, and again, the author of A Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. You know, first of all, Gloria, welcome to our program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
And when we have done interviews in the past, I've tried to get our guests to define what the soul is. We'll get your perspectives, where it is. I'm going to guess by implication in the title that your observations is the soul's on the inside, metaphorically maybe, or euphemistically, and to wear it on the outside is a little scary. It's not really where you would normally find it if you were, as you go about your day-to-day life.
Well, you know, metaphorically, I do think about the soul as being the interior part of us, Richard. And I really don't think that anyone really knows what the soul is or where it is. Mm-hmm. But I do know that it's the eternal part of us, the part that precedes us and the part that stays after us, that lingers with other people when we, you know, when we're out of our physical body. And so daring to wear your soul on the outside is really, it's very similar, I think, to what you talk about in terms of making your own dreams come true. Mm-hmm. So daring to wear your soul on the outside is about saying yes to your own life, your own path, your own signature presence, if you will, and saying no in a loving way, but no, a very clear way, to other people's agenda for your life. And if we don't say yes to our own agenda, we will have other people kind of creeping in and asking us to do things, and we find ourselves going down, you know, a different path than perhaps is the right path for us.
No, I would never do that. Never, ever do that. Let me ask you, as we continue here talking about this book, To Live Your Legacy. Now, great word. We're going to talk more about legacy as well. When did you start realizing that this was a book that you just had to write?
You know, that's a great question. I don't really think I realized that the book was in me until maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but I started really consciously using the notion of legacy and the word legacy about 10 years ago. And it's the water that I swim in, Richard. So I had other language for it. It was so much a part of who I was, I really didn't call it out specifically. But I remember I was in Sydney, Australia, giving a talk, a keynote at a big conference for coaches. And one of the gentlemen came up to me afterwards, a Maori gentleman, and he said, "Gloria," he said, "are you Maori?" And I said, "I don't think so." I think, you know, my heritage is from Africa and, you know, some Native American. And I said, "Why do you ask?" And he said, "Well, what you're talking about, the principles that you're talking about, are the same principles that my people have been living with for thousands of years." And, you know, and so we kept talking and talking. And Graham is this fellow's name. And he gave me the word. He said, "You know, what you're really talking about is legacy." And I said, "You know, I think you're right." So that was a gift that, you know, he was able to hold up a mirror for me to just, you know, reflect back something that I kind of took for granted. And I'm so grateful that he did, because I've been really on a mission, if you will, Richard, to help people understand this notion of living your legacy with conscious intention and being on purpose about it, you know, rather than the normal way that we think about legacy in our culture, which is connected with death and dying and financial inheritance.
I'll leave a check.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about that and what kind of a legacy we are leaving behind, or even leaving as we live our lives today, which is really what you're talking about.
That's
as
right.
We continue. Mm-hmm. Here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, my guest, Gloria Burgess, her book is called Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. If you want to wear it on your sleeve, you can do that too. That's on the outside. And we will continue here as we talk more with Gloria Burgess. I beg your pardon, Gloria Burgess. And again, it is entitled Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Plans without execution are only dreams. At Monarch Wealth Strategies, we follow a disciplined approach to wealth management. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Come experience the integrity, competency, and royal service provided by Monarch Wealth Strategies, a financial services firm founded by myself, Vanessa Patterson, and Aaron Clark. We are at 1501 State Street, a building shared with Community West Bank. Execute your plans today. Contact us at 564-0800. That's 564-0800. Or monarchwellstrategies.com.
Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. Through Angel Healing House, I can help you release emotional issues and physical ailments and finally find your inner strength to regain health, clarity, and balance in your life. Find your joy again by booking your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close.
Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804. Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Yes, and I do know how
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. You can listen to the program live on the internet as well as on the radio, richarddugan.com, RICHARDDUGAN.com. And you can also listen to the archives following the broadcast. We'll have this up there about 10 or 15 minutes after the program's over, give or take. And then you can listen to it, share it with your friends and family, and other programs that we've done over the last, amazingly, over 2 years. We've been doing this program. I've been interviewing people and kind of codified the interviewing process down to what we do now over the past 30 years, and absolutely love it. It's like, best description, it's like Christmas, and you're getting a new gift. And you open up that package, you don't know what's inside, but it's pretty neat. And you find out about another person's world. You can take from that person what they've shared and maybe incorporate it into your life, share it with other people. And now you've changed. You've grown. You've moved forward in some fashion. And even if all you do is just listen, you've changed. You've grown. And so we look forward to having more folks and continuing this for years to come. My guest today is Gloria Borges, and she is the author of Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. We're talking about the legacy that we want to, quite honestly, start leaving now before we leave. But we also want to explore how to bring forth certain character qualities such as love, wisdom, trust, faith, gratitude, creative action, vision, and integrity. As a matter of fact, speaking of integrity, Gloria, I met a gentleman yesterday who is a professor who teaches ethics, which I consider sort of in that same genre of integrity and ethics.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I thought that was like, wow. And he has an interesting website. Hopefully we'll have him on sometime down the road. But it got me to thinking about all of this as well in terms of daring to wear your soul on the outside, the title of your book,
mm-hmm.
and this business of bringing out these different attributes. And there are quite a number of them. They're wonderful attributes. And I keep thinking that we're born into this world with these in a pure nature, and then something goes wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, we are born with them, Richard, and some of us are lucky enough to have people around us who nurture us and who, I'm going to say, just reinforce and keep pouring and pouring and pouring and investing in us. And the attributes that we're born with kind of become the ones that stick with us. And some of us aren't that fortunate. And I think most of us probably have a mix of people who pour into us and, you know, those who take away. But I know I was very fortunate as a young girl. I had what I called my personal village, you know, my mother, my father, my sisters, and lots of aunts and uncles. My mother had 17 brothers and sisters, so, you know, I had lots of people who cared about me and who really, really invested time and energy in me. And I think that, you know, today's generation, you know, for whatever reason, you know, two-income households, single parents, whatever, we don't have the time or take the time to pour these qualities into our children in the same way that that, you know, I was lucky enough to have in my childhood. The qualities that I talk about in my work and that you're talking about are gratitude and faith and love and vision and integrity and creative action, and all of these constitute what I call legacy. And I'd love to tell a little bit about each one of those if we have time to do that.
Absolutely, we do.
Well, I, you know, I always begin with gratitude because for me, I don't, you know, I can't think of starting a day without saying thanks to my Creator and saying just thanks for the breath in my body and for being here for another day. So gratitude is one of those places that not only opens my spirit, my heart, but it also reminds me of where I come from. In my culture, which I mentioned earlier, we always give thanks to the ancestors, you know, and we always think about the people who paved the way and built bridges and made sacrifices for us to be here today. And I think, you know, none of us would be here, you, me, none of us would be here if somebody, you know, hadn't put some blood, sweat, and tears into their life and made some sacrifices for us. And so gratitude is the first of what I call the sacred promises of legacy living. I also talk about faith, and faith is one of those practices and promises that is enormous. And most people get a little wiggly when I talk about faith because they think I'm going to talk about religion or whatever. And while that can be a dimension of faith, that's not what I'm talking about. The essence of what I'm talking about is really having the belief that you can make something happen in your life, and having the belief that other people will collaborate with you, will support you, will lift you up, and that there's a power outside of you that will also collaborate with you in a positive way to move you from wherever you are right now in your relationship, at work, in your own personal life, and move you from wherever you are right now to get to another place, a more desirable place.
Well, I know that for me, as you say, you'd like to have those people in your life that will do it in a loving and nurturing and a positive way. But we do have those experiences from time to time that give us those qualities from others who have shown us, that doesn't feel right to me. I don't want to go that way. I had one of those at the age of 33, which seems like so long ago, and yet just yesterday, yeah. Where I had to confront a gentleman who was probably 20 or 30 years older than I, and he came up to me after the initial conflict, if you will, and said, well, you reactivated my PTSD and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, because he'd been in the Vietnam War, and I turned to him and I said, I don't care. I'm sorry, I don't care, because, long story short, you're not my father, you're not my teacher, and I don't need to be treated that way. And basically the experience was that I stood up for myself, especially to someone who was older than me, in spite of what we're all told as children, that you respect your elders, and whoever's older than you is an elder. But I had just reached the breaking point, and of course this individual, their style was their style. I didn't care for it in my life, and I said, stop, enough.
Well, and Richard, one of the things that you are talking about, faith is really about being loyal. And sometimes we have to be disloyal as well. And in this case, you need to be, you were saying that you were being disloyal to what you'd been taught as a kid because you needed to take a stand for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's an aspect of integrity, taking a stand for yourself, and not having other people push you around because you do have, you have a place that you don't want to compromise. And so I think that, what you're talking about are, I think we've all been there. I certainly, as a young girl, even though I had my, what I call my personal village of supporters, the larger community that I lived in, the larger neighborhood that I lived in was anything but supportive. I was born in Mississippi, in what I thought was an all-black town, and I didn't realize that, I didn't know what the word segregation meant. What I knew is that every Saturday my family went uptown, or into what I thought was the other town when I was a little girl, and all the people there were white. And, we had to behave differently there because, we could get hurt or, called out or worse. And I had lots of people in my personal village, my immediate relatives and loved ones who supported me, who lifted me up. And over in the other community, I had people calling me names, saying I wasn't good enough, saying I couldn't do this, that, and the other. And so, dual message, have faith on this side and other people saying, we don't want you. We don't think you belong here. And really telling me just the opposite of what I'm getting in my home. And so I had these dual messages in my life for probably until I was in my early 20s. But I know that place of, having to push up against other people so that you can hold on to who you are and not let them give you an agenda that's not right for you.
And, of course, our society is sort of prone to that in that that's kind of what those are the kinds of messages that we get from our institutions.
Yes.
And you can, whether it's government, religion, or whatever, Those are the messages that we get. We're telling you, this is the truth. Science tells us this all the time. We have the answer. This is the way it is. And then, of course, a few years later, they find out that wasn't the way it is, and they have to revise their findings. I find that fascinating, too. I tell people the story of that there are, say, a million laws of the universe. Mm-hmm. We know 10 and think we know them all. And then we find 11, and, oh, okay, we got them all now. And every so often, it used to just be physics. Now it's quantum physics.
Yes.
You know, and I'm waiting for the next big phrase to come along.
Right.
We used to have
9 planets, and now we have, what, 25 or something like that?
But then you drop Pluto as a planet. It's like, you know, let's drop the arrogance and say, okay, right now. It's like I told my sister many years ago. I said, my beliefs of yesterday are not my beliefs of today are not my beliefs of tomorrow. Because
yes.
I'm still growing and changing. It's like if you were a doctor, you have to start out in med school. Well, even before that, but you know, once you get into the official port, and then you become an intern and you go through those different steps, but you're still growing. Even as a physician, you're hopefully still learning and keeping yourself educated. You know, and so this whole process of progression in life, you never get there, and that's okay, because you're still learning.
Yeah, and it really is all about the journey, Richard. You know, I find in my own life, whenever I think I've arrived, I usually stub my toe, you know. And it's, I think, really, like you said, an arrogant position to think that you really have arrived, because as long as you have breath in your body, you always have the opportunity to grow and change and learn and take in new information. I think that's been part of the story of my life. I just really feel blessed at this particular moment in my life. I'm in my mid-50s now, to be able to give back some of the learning, some of the hard knocks, if you will, that I've learned along the way, as well as some of the best practices.
Mm-hmm.
So the promises, if you will, that I keep talking about, the sacred promises, go hand in hand. And one of the things that I don't often talk about in relation to the promises is that these things are in our lives whether we are conscious of them or not. And we can leverage them when we become conscious and use them to fuel our life and to move in a forward direction. Really harness the power of gratitude and faith and love and so on. Love is one of those places where, in my work, I do a lot of work in corporations and schools, universities, government communities, etc. And so when I, you know, talk about love, I usually use the word passion, because they can hear that better. Mm-hmm. Inside of organizations. But, you know, most of us are engaged in work that we don't like, let alone love, we think of work as something that is extra. You know, it pays the rent, it pays the mortgage, but it doesn't provide that deep soul satisfaction in our life. And what I tell people is that work doesn't have to provide that deep soul satisfaction. 85% of us in this country work in jobs that we hate. You know, we can't stand getting up on Monday morning. You know, most heart attacks happen on Monday morning. And, you know, there's a correlation between being in work that we don't enjoy. But you can choose your attitude, regardless of the kind of work that you have. You can choose your attitude, and you can choose to be in love with who you are and what you can bring to the world of work, whether or not you like your specific job or not.
Mm.
And so love is really all about being passionately focused, not on the work itself, but again on who you are. And it gets back to that that notion of ethics. And when I think about ethics, I think about values. You know, what's really important to me? What do I really value? What will I stand on? What will I stake my commitments on? You know, who do I choose to include and exclude in my conversations, in my circle of friends? Those are the places where we can choose, and we are in charge. And nobody can take those kinds of things away from us.
I have to say that going through the number of different types of programs, workshops, seminars, interviews, therapy sessions over the years, and I'm not quite to 50 yet. I'm on the edge.
Mm.
I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I am in no hurry. Okay, I'm not afraid of getting there, but I'm in no hurry. But it seems like it's taking an awfully long time, which is okay. It's perfectly fine.
Wait till you go there, then things will speed up. I guarantee you.
Well, if they're going to speed up when I get there, boy, things are really going to move fast because they're moving pretty fast now. Mm. It just seems, and that's really kind of an interesting sidebar because I noticed that on the one hand, it's like time is flying. I can't believe it's already October 2009. The 21st century, I'm still flying back to when I was in my early teens watching the Jetsons thinking, that's going to be so neat. And we're here and it's like, where is it? On the other hand, it's like things are moving so slowly and it's taking me forever to get through a year. As I look at it from the maybe a broader perspective, I know people are actually saying that, though, that time, how can you measure that? The clock is still moving at the same rate, but it's our perception,
yes.
Mental perception. Things are moving so much faster. Things are happening, especially for those of us, yourself included, who are about the purpose in life of leaving or giving a legacy to those around you now to make a difference in the world. And I often even ask the question of myself, what does that really mean, to change the world? I mean, are we talking peace on earth? Are we talking, what are we talking about here?
Well, you know, I think that is a question that each of us would answer differently. The threads might be very much the same, but each one of us would answer that differently because our vision, our scope, if you will, is different. So for some of us, changing the world might mean, you know, really being out there in the community, in your neighborhood, in your country, in your whatever, and really focusing out there. And making an impact that is significant, that's visible, you know, that other people would say, oh, yeah, I get what this person's doing. And for some of us, you know, it's not about that at all. Changing the world could mean being in a different kind of relationship with your son or daughter, with your kids. It could mean investing more time and energy in them and making sure that you're pouring in that, you know, quality time. There goes that word time again. Mm-hmm. It could mean, you know, I have my father-in-law is 87 years old, and you know, he's still he lives by himself, and he fills his day with things to do so that he literally doesn't lose his mind. But one of the things that he does to change the world is he still drives for the Red Cross, delivering blood, which he's done for the last 30-some years. And this is the way that, you know, he makes a difference in the world. And he would never say that. He just thinks he's delivering blood, right? But to the people who are receiving that blood and who need that blood to live the kind of life, healthy, you know, and so on, you know, they think that it's, you know, he's doing life-changing work. So it doesn't have to be large Hollywood-sized screen, you know. It can be very small. It could be, you know, somebody opening the door for you and smiling at you and saying hello, making your day because somebody paid attention to you.
Is it a lack of self-confidence when someone says, in spite of what they are doing, such as what you've just described, I really don't feel like I'm making a difference? I mean, I'm going to continue doing this thing that I do, giving, maybe fostering animals or going to the daycare center or going to the nursing homes and visiting those folks or helping out at the shelter, or even if it is just giving a check to the Red Cross or something of this nature, but they just sit there going, yeah, I'm doing this, but I really don't feel like it's making a difference. Is that a sign of a personal humility, or is that self-deprecation?
You know, I think it could be either, Richard. It depends on the person. You know, it could be somebody who doesn't feel like they have, or a sense of self-confidence or low self-esteem. But it could be somebody who's maybe their expectations are out of sync with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things just aren't quite lined up in terms of their contribution and the expectations that they have for themselves. I think that what matters most is, you know, that they're doing something and that they're looking outside of themselves and contributing something to somebody else. And for me, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside is really about that. It's about getting your own life together, not just for yourself, okay, because we have a lot of folks doing that, mm-hmm. and that has its place. But it's about getting your own act together and then helping somebody else out along the way. And when you do that, life, it goes better. It goes better. I had a student who I hadn't seen for about 15 years contact me earlier this year, and she invited me to speak at her church. And so we got reacquainted with one another. I spoke and so on. And then she called me just a few weeks ago. And she said, Gloria, you know, I loved the talk that you gave. And it was basically about my book and about the message that I'm sharing today. And she said, you know, and I have a lot of faith. I have a lot of faith in myself. I have a lot of faith in my doctors. I have a lot of faith in God. She says, but, you know, sometimes I just wonder, you know, and I don't know if I'm going to make it through another day. She's currently on the list for a double transplant for a liver and a kidney. Hmm. In her early 50s, she has some sort of kidney disease that's a genetic and has had transplants before. And, you know, she's been on the list now, I think, for about 5 or 6 years. And it's like one day at a time. She says, Gloria, how do I get through this? And I don't think it was a loss of personal self-confidence, you know, in total, but mm-hmm. I do think that sometimes, you know, our self-confidence kind of leaks out of us because we're going through trying circumstances or stressful times. And so one of the things that we committed to do together, Richard, is connected to this sacred promise called vision. What I noticed when I talked to her, I said, you know, Janet, I said, you don't have a goal for yourself beyond the transplant and, you know, being on the list and getting that phone call. I said, how do you shape your day? Just tell me what your day is like. And she did. And I said, my word, I said, you know, it seemed very similar to me to, and I don't want to say she's addicted to anything because she's not, mm-hmm. but it was a very similar kind of day, if you will, an experience that someone with very intense addiction would have, like an alcoholic or somebody addicted to drugs, other drugs. And I said, you know, they can't get through their day without their bottle or their needle or their crack or whatever, because they don't have a goal beyond the 5 o'clock hour. And so we talked about that, and I said, let's do something together. She has a background in creativity and arts and so on. And I said, let's just, you know, kind of play around with sending each other a poem a day. And we'll see where it goes from there. But I wanted to, you know, give her something to focus on besides the, you know, that waiting. And so we've been doing this now for a couple of weeks, and it's just a kick. You know, sometimes she writes me a little email, little top note that says, this is going to be really depressing, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I don't care. It doesn't matter what you write. What matters is that you write, okay, and that you have a goal to focus on every single day that's different from your medical dilemma right now. Mm. Yeah.
That's, you know, my wife went through a cancer diagnosis and surgery and chemo, and during the chemotherapy, which, by the way, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Mm. That is some nasty stuff, and that's seeing it from the outside, folks. Mm. I felt like doing the same thing for her, because I knew that if she didn't have something else to focus on, that she would focus on that, even
yeah.
though
mm-hmm.
I found out later she had already made the decision to live. With everything that I've, with all the people such as yourself that I've spoken with, I thought, you know, I need to come up with like 3 or 5 steps for this or that or the other. So I came up with these 5 steps for life. And the first one was make a choice. And I literally went to her and I said, you need to choose whether you want to live or die. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was that blunt with her, because that was where we were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and of course, I found out that she said, even she's told me recently that even before she'd gone into surgery, she'd already made the decision. But she told me that she wanted to live. And I said, okay, then here are the other 4 steps, and this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a copy of this 5 steps, and I plastered it all over the house, inside and outside medicine cabinets and cupboards and in the refrigerator and on and on and on, so that no matter where she turned, she was reminded of this.
Yes.
And it helped me, too, because it kind of gave me something to do that I felt like at least I was contributing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we're here, which is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very important to focus on the things that, you know, these goals, preferably, of course, those that are your purpose, those that are you're here to do.
Yes.
I had some people that came to me many years ago, early into my broadcast career, who wanted to lay hands on me and heal my vision, you know, restore it. And I said, thank you, but I don't want you to restore it because it wasn't great before now.
Mm.
It's actually gotten better. So to restore it from my perspective, that's where my intellect was, I said, you know, I can't stop you from praying for me, but but you know, thank you, but no thank you. And I said, that's not my purpose in living, is not to be healed. My purpose is in doing what it is that I do. If I get healed in the process, you know, and at the time, you know, God knows where I am, I'll even accept the collect call.
Yes.
Okay, he knows where I am, and boom, bam, I'm healed, and thank you so much. And now it's back onto my job, my purpose, what I'm here for.
Well, and when you are on track with your purpose, that passion that I talked about earlier, Richard, you know, it becomes like the fire that requires no fuel.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody has to tell you to get out of bed. Nobody has to tell you to get excited. You already are.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's really the core of the message around passion. When we are, and I'm going to say and do, because they both go hand in hand, but when we are and do what we really love, you know, people get such a charge out of us. They want to, you know, pay money to watch us burn.
I'll take it. Please, bring it on.
So I just thank you for sharing that, because what you were describing when you talked about plastering the walls with the five things for to support your wife is really connected to this promise that I call creative action. And creative action is like putting fuel in your car. Okay, the car's not going to go anywhere unless it has gas in it, right? Okay, otherwise it's just going to sit there, you know, like a, you know, a statue. And creative action provides the, I'm going to say, the momentum to make your vision and your passion come alive. And creative, I call it creative action because most of us think that we're not creative, that we're not creators, that somebody else is responsible. And so I want to make the point that, you know, we all are creators with a little C. We all can move the car. We all can put gas in the car and move our own agenda forward, say yes to our own agenda, and stay on the path that's meant just for us. I also want to talk about this notion of integrity a little bit more. One of the things that we don't often talk about with regard to integrity is its connection to health and wholeness.
Oh, yeah.
Integrity and integer actually come from the same root word, which means whole. And I remember when I was in my 30s, I had just had my daughter. Didn't think I could have kids, but you know, God opened a door for me to have my daughter Quinn. And I was in high tech at the time, working in the computer software industry. You know, flying all over the country and the world to do my work. And I was in that mode for about 10 or 12 years before I became pregnant with my daughter. And that was just kind of my MO. You know, that was what I knew. That was what I breathed. That was, you know, that was my lifestyle. And I remember getting ready to go off to the airport one morning. My daughter's 2.5 or 3 years old. And she just grabs my leg. And she says, "Mommy, Mommy, please, please don't go." And I just looked at her and I thought, oh, my God. You know, what I have been telling her is that family matters. What I've been telling myself is that family matters. My, you know, every, you know, that's my mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And what she was telling me is, Mommy, walk your talk.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And, you know, Richard, it was a real wake-up call for me because I was saying one thing, and I actually thought that I was, you know, walking my talk, but she was telling me, Mommy, I need you here with me. And, you know, this out of the mouth of babes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it took me a few years to unhitch my life, you know, and kind of shed those habits that I had really, you know, invested in and that career track. But over the years, I was able able to move away from the software industry. I opened up my own consulting practice. And, you know, thankfully, my daughter, she has no memory of that, you know, era when I was, you know, flying all over the world. What she remembers is mommy at home in her pajamas, you know, talking to clients on the phone, but being available to her as well.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that when you talk about that, it reminds me of a conversation I had very recently, and we all get frustrated. All of us do. I don't care how many books you've written and what they've been on and workshops and how many facilitations you've done and so on and so forth. We all still get frustrated. And I came in one day, and I was talking with this one gentleman, and I said, you know, I watch people doing these things out on the roadways, and I'm just about fed up. It's like, what's the point of doing the right thing? Nobody else is. Mm-hmm. What difference does it make whether mm-hmm. I do? And I went on and on for a few minutes. And he says, yeah, well, and then you'll be contributing to the very thing that you're all wound up about. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just calm down and realize that you need to be part of the sane or the sanity movement, if you will, to counterbalance that and then maintain that integrity. But that does happen. I mean, even to the best of us, I'm not even certain that I want to consider myself in that category of the best of us. Mm. I'm not sure what that is, to be honest with you. But nonetheless, you know, we all have those thoughts of like, well, what's the point? I mean, all right, Bernie Madoff, he went on for 20, 30 years, and then he got caught. Mm-hmm. But what a life for 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. Could you afford to throw your integrity out the window for 20 or 30 years of that? Mm-hmm. And how well did he sleep? And mm-hmm. what was his health? Going back to your comment mm-hmm. about health and integrity. Mm-hmm. And now, guess where he's spending the rest of his life for 150 years? So those are the kinds of leaps, in one sense, that we struggle with. Do you have any advice or insight on that?
I do. And, you know, Richard, I want to say that if you're doing this kind of show, you know, helping people think about new paradigms and a new way of being and living, I think you are among the best of us. You know, and even the best of us get sidetracked. Even the best of us lose sight of who we are sometimes. You know, the world is very, very seductive. And we get enticed to do, you know, this thing or that thing or go in this direction or that direction. But I think that at our core, we know, most of us know the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so the advice that I would give is, you know, take stock of who you are, first of all. And ask yourself, can you live with yourself in the morning? Okay, given the choices that are available to you, given the enticements that, you know, might be thrown your way, can you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and say, well done? And if you can't, it's probably something that you should walk away from. And again, some of us can do that all of the time. Not very many of us. You know, we waver and we go back and forth. You know, I've certainly had my zigs and my zags and my trials and my troubles and my struggles along the way. And I think it takes people who have the good intention, if you will, the kinds of things that I'm talking about, as well as the, you know, who have also had the struggle to help people cross the bridge, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I think that what we're talking about and what I'm saying is that we all can aspire to be the best that we can be, and sometimes we fall short of that, and we have to forgive ourselves and pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and keep moving in the direction that we know is the right direction.
And you talk about assessing your assets, if you will. Your advice, guidance on this, in this moment, I know the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it, and I will be able to sleep tonight. But, you know, 5 years ago, I did this,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this thing, and now all of a sudden, I'm starting to pile up those bricks.
Yes. And you know what, Richard, that what you're talking about is an aspect of integrity. When I talked about the connection to the word whole, most of us have those bricks. Some of us have gold bricks and a lot of gold bricks, but some of us have some pretty, you know, dirty bricks and musty old bricks that we aren't too proud of. And all of those bricks are part of who we are. And our job, our responsibility is to acknowledge that, you know, maybe there's some things in our past or maybe even some things in our present that aren't so cool.
Yeah.
And it's okay because there's some other things that are pretty healthy and wholesome and worthwhile. And again, we just need to have compassion for ourselves and the ability to forgive ourselves and keep moving forward because we're, you know, we're human beings. We're not perfect. I want to tell you a little story that's connected to all of the sacred promises, and in particular to integrity and legacy. You know, when you talk about standing out and taking a stand and doing the right thing, my father was my just one of my inspirations in my life. He was the only kid in his family who ever thought about going to college, ever dreamed about it, ever said it out loud. And this was at a time when it was in the 1930s in rural Mississippi, and most little black kids were, you know, out helping their parents in the cotton fields, mm-hmm. not thinking about college. But my father dreamed outside of the box, and he held on to his dream. He held on to his yes, in spite of everybody, including his parents, saying, you know, nobody's ever done that before. Who do you think you are? And they were well-intentioned, but they were trying to discourage him from this, you know, big, audacious dream that he had for himself. Long story short, my father found himself working as a janitor at the University of Mississippi as a young man in his early 20s. He was married by then, had three kids, including me. And this was at a time when he could work there, but he couldn't go to school there because it was still segregated. But my father was still talking about going to college. He ended up meeting a person at the Ole Miss who put him in touch with the person who would become his benefactor. William Faulkner became my father's benefactor and friend. And both of these men, Richard, took a stand for the right thing. And I think Mr. Faulkner took a stand in the face of most other people, most other white people in that town in Oxford, Mississippi, saying, you know, rotten things about black folks, saying, you know, stay in your place, we don't want you, calling you all kinds of names, and, you know, all of that. But my father's experience with Mr. Faulkner was that he was seen as a human being. He was seen as someone who dreamed big with no money in his pocket. And Mr. Faulkner said, you know, Ernest, I want to help you. I want to help you get to your dream. And I want to pay for your college tuition. I want to make sure that you have food on the table. I want to make sure you have clothing for your family so that you don't have to work. And he basically reached out to my dad when everybody else was saying, you know, we don't want you. And so both of these men, I think, were just stellar examples of integrity for me, as well as this notion of legacy that I talk about, being on purpose, about reaching out and putting it out there, putting your vision out there, and also, you know, reaching across the bridge and helping somebody else get there.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. We're going to come back. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story with my guest, Gloria Burgess, and her book, Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. We'll be right back.
Every minute of every day, events occur that affect our lives, our community, our future. Who will tell us? How will we know every minute of every day? The Santa Barbara News Press. Witness news first at newspress.com. Hear it first at AM 1290. Read it first in the Santa Barbara News Press. Every minute of every day.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share, a talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present, a workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories.
New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest is Gloria Burgess, and she has a book. It's entitled Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. And it's about bringing forth the qualities, the character qualities of love and wisdom, trust and faith, gratitude, creative action, wisdom and integrity, and also about the sacred promises of legacy living as a transformational process that helps us connect to our past by honoring those who came before us, living with intention in the present and freeing our talents so we can realize our potential. Gloria, I have one final question in the last 2 minutes of the program that I put to most every one of our guests at the end of the program. And you could have gone in a lot of different directions with your life. You could still be working in the computer industry, for all we know, working on Windows 8 or 10, for all we know, or Mac whatever, or whatever applications and new technologies, but you went this way.
Yes.
The question is, why this? Why now?
Why this and why now? I believe that the work that I'm doing now, Richard, is the fullest expression as I know it, you know, because I'm always learning and growing, as we talked about earlier, but it's the fullest expression of God's promise to me and the legacy that I need to leave behind. The work that I did in the high-tech industry for almost 20 years has actually been a gift to me. And it was, you know, when I was in it, I didn't recognize it as a gift. But now I can go back into corporate America, into those high-tech places, and speak a language that, you know, the engineers can understand and they can hear me, because they I'm going to just say the vocabulary of most organizations is too small to contain the soul. And the soul is so thirsty for what I'm talking about. And so those 20 years was actually like a preparatory ground for me to do the kind of work and to give back to that population of folks. So I'm blessed to work with folks in organizations, blessed to work with our young people in our schools. I do a lot of community service in our schools with K through 12. So I run the full gamut. And the why now is I chose a different kind of software. I chose people instead of the bits and bytes.
I love it. I love it. I want to thank you so much for both writing the book and sharing your book and your thoughts with us here on the program. And want to let our listeners know they can go to GloriaBurgess.com. Gloria, and the last name is BurgessS.com. And they can check out all kinds of wonderful things. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I want to thank you for sharing your time with us and being here on this this Saturday afternoon. Join us every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Till next Saturday, love to all. Have a great weekend.